In the last 100 years, life has changed more than in the previous 2,000 years. And in the century to come, we are not going to be experiencing 100 years of progress, but it's going to be more like 20,000 years of progress at today's rate. And the term for that is called the law of accelerating change. And I think that it explains a lot of what we may be feeling individually and in our society and in our world. Exponential change. With the speed of this constant change, disruption has become the new normal. And I think that we feel that. And that will continue. It's not going to slow down. Constant change is here to stay. Happy New Year. With this, we go to our scripture. It's a beautiful passage of scripture and equipping us and tremendous empowerment and wisdom for our lives and our time. And why don't we read it together? It's the sentence that you have in your bulletins from Luke 9:25, and nearly identical passages also in Matthew and Mark. Give you a moment just to find that. Let's read these words together, where Jesus says, "What does it profit a person if they gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit their soul?" Amen. May God bless our receiving of this word of abundant life. Yeah. So there's a fairly widespread commentary that's out there that talks about our future. I had fun this last week going through and checking through each one of these things. And when you hear this, it's not very hard to stretch your imagination to picture a lot of the trajectories that this is talking about. And as we are now 8 days into the new year, I want to share this commentary with you for a number of reasons. And if you'll bear with me, you'll see why. It's called The Future. And interestingly, it actually begins with talking about the past. Not very long ago, but it starts talking about 1998. And it says in 1998, some of you may be familiar with us, you may have read this recently, but in 1998, and I think about this because it's actually 4 years after I came to be the minister here, Kodak had 170,000 employees. It sold 85% of the photo paper worldwide. All medical x-rays used Kodak film. They made cameras. They made commercial cameras, industrial cameras, security cameras, imaging of all sorts. Within just a few years, and we know this because we all lived through this, that business model disappeared and they went bankrupt. Their stock took a 90% dive in 1 year. What happened to Kodak, this commentary says, is going to be happening to a lot of industries in the next 10 years. And it adds, but most people won't see it coming. It says, for example, did you think in 1998, not that long ago, that 3 years later that you would never take pictures on film ever again? And go and get them developed. And, you know, it's kind of like it came out of nowhere. And yet digital cameras were invented in 1975. So they had actually been around for a while. The first ones, though, had 10,000 pictures, and so they were poor quality. But as their technology followed Moore's law of exponential improvement, as do all exponential technologies, especially having to do with computer chips and so forth, the digital went from disappointment to superior to mainstream in just a very, very few short years. And that same pattern, it says, is now happening with artificial intelligence, with health technologies, right? With autonomous and electric cars, with education, with 3D printing, with agriculture, with the job market. So welcome to the fourth industrial revolution, to the exponential age, where software, as we've already been experiencing it, will vastly and continue to vastly transform most traditional industries in the next 5 to 10 years. What does this have to do with spirituality? We will see. It has a lot. And we're living in that right now. The World Economic Forum says that what we call the fourth industrial revolution is characterized by a fusion of technologies that is blurring the lines between physical, digital, and biological spheres. Right? Where do we see it? Well, one of the ways that we see it is you take Uber, right? And it points out Uber is primarily a software tool. They don't own any cars, right? But they are now the biggest taxi company in the whole world. Airbnb is now the largest hotel company in the world, and yet they don't own any properties. And then there's artificial intelligence. We know about IBM Watson, right? IBM is very close to home. What impact does that have on life, on people? Well, in the US, it says that lawyers, it takes lawyers, they say lawyers already don't get jobs. There's not enough jobs for as many lawyers as there are. And now in the future, because of IBM Watson, it says you can get legal advice, you can ask a question on more or less basic stuff, and within seconds, you get 90% accuracy versus 70% accuracy when done by humans, and it takes a lot longer. It says if you study law, stop. There will be 90% less lawyers in the future, and I'm not going to make a joke about that, because we have lawyers here, and I love them. I do. It says only specialists will remain. Cancer. Watson also already helps diagnose cancer 4 times more accurately than humans alone. Facial recognition. Facebook has facial recognition software now that it uses. You know, you'll see yourself identified in all sorts of pictures and your friends. Facial recognition that identifies faces better than people can. Driving. Now, this said in first self-driving cars will appear in public. That's not really true because Tesla Autopilot is actually already in cars now where you can be hands-free driving. But it says that around 2020, the complete auto industry will start to be disrupted. It says you don't want to own a car. You won't want to own a car anymore. Not too many years from now, you'll call your car from a phone, which we now do with Uber. But a self-driving car will come and will show up at your location, drive you to your destination. You won't need to park it. You only pay for the driven distance, which means a number of things, which means that you can also be productive while driving, and you'll probably be expected to be productive while you're driving, right? Which means also that our kids will never have to get a driver's license, which means our kids will never own a car, which means cities will change, because we'll need 99 to 95% less cars that are just sitting there most of the time. Which means that cities will transform. We can transform former parking places. Now, this has a very nice idealistic vision of transforming parking places and into parks. Not sure that that's going to happen, but something will happen with all those spaces. Which also means that with, though, this autonomous driving, it's going to save the lives of nearly all of the 1.2 million people who die in car accidents every year. which also means that there's going to be implications for the population, which also means that car companies, most of them are probably going to go bankrupt because they're going to be trying to build a better car. That's what we do. We focus on the now. Tech companies, though, are going to be building better computers on wheels. And that's going to be the need. Which also means that autonomous cars, because they decrease auto accidents, the auto insurance industry is probably going to disappear virtually. Real estate will change because we can be productive while driving and we can be living and working virtually. It means we'll be able to move further away and work as we are driven to work. Electric cars also. This isn't even a stretch. It says electric cars are going to be mainstream by 2020. Now, a number of people here already own an electric car, a hybrid car, right? Which means cities are going to be less noisy, cities are going to be cleaner, it's going to be a more attractive place to live. Electricity itself is going to become increasingly cheaper and cleaner. Solar production has been on an exponential curve for 30 years. Last year, more solar energy was installed worldwide, more than fossil. That means, with cheap electricity, comes cheap and abundant water. Desalinization of salt water finally becomes financially feasible, and you can imagine what happens with the possibility of people having clean water with very little cost. Health. There's actually two companies right now in the second quarter of 2017 that started out with 300 and some companies competing. It's down to two. The winner's going to be announced in the second quarter. Building a medical device called Tricorder X. Some of you probably heard about it. It's named so from Star Trek. It works with your phone, takes a retina scan, deals with your blood sample, you breathe into it, it analyzes 54 biomarkers that identify nearly any disease. It'll be affordable enough so that in a few years, nearly everybody on the planet will have access to world-class medical analysis. 3D printing. In the last 10 years, the price of the cheapest 3D printer has dropped from $18,000 to $400, and it became 100 times faster in that same time. Implications. All major shoe companies now have already started, not in the future, but now have already started printing these shoes, and you can check it out online. Airplane parts are being printed 3D so that in remote airports, some hard-to-get parts are being printed on 3D. Space Station has a 3D printer, which eliminates the need for large amounts of spare parts that they used to have to carry along with them back in the olden days. At the end of this year, new smartphones are going to have 3D scanning possibilities, which means that you can scan your feet and you can print the perfect shoe. China's already 3D printed a complete 5-story apartment building, a 6-story office building, and a full-size mansion, beautiful mansion. By 2027, it's estimated that 10% of everything that's being produced will be 3D printed, which also means that jobs, 70 to 80% of current jobs, will disappear in the next 20 years, which means, of course, a lot of different needs. And education. With 70% of the world currently having a smartphone, it means that 70% of the world has access to world-class education at their fingertips. Agriculture is going to be using more robots. Petri dish produced veal. It's not called Petri dish produced veal. Just a heads up, when you see cultured meat, that's what that will be. It's now available, and it'll be cheaper than cow-produced. Right now, 30% of all agricultural land is being used for cows, and we think about how that may free up the land. Insect protein. Who wants to eat insect protein? Look on your packages in a few short years. It's going to be labeled alternative protein source. Because who wants to eat insects? Not me. Longevity. The average lifespan currently increases 3 months per year that you live. By 2036, it's estimated that there will be more than 1 year of lifespan increase, more than 1 year for every year that you live. Some people are going to be living a very long time. The longer you live will mean the longer you live, which means. This is a very small sliver of what's to come, and yet on the other hand, it's a pretty long list, right? And yet, every list that I've read, every list that I've heard of the future, what's missing? What's missing from this progress? From this massive, sweeping, constant change, how about any mention, how about even a whisper? How about a recognition of soul? Soul. Four days ago, the New York Times printed an article that had something to do with this. And it called the sweeping change, it called it the new industrial age. So the first industrial age, Descartes said, I think, therefore I am, right? And we all know that that's true, right? All power is attributed to the mind. Human innovation, we're thinking, so we're in charge. Right? The reality, however, that few people have seemed to notice, which I would say is the more obvious truth, which is, I am, therefore I think. Where does the thinking come from? It's no coincidence along these lines that God's identity, that God's name from Genesis is I am. Jesus said, I am in my Father, my Father's in me, and I am in you. That's the life force. If you've ever been with anyone who's died, you know that there's a dramatic difference between material and life force. And you know that when you go to services and people are talking about a person's life and why did they live and what made their life worthwhile, they're not talking about the material things. They're talking about those issues of value, meaning, soul, relationship, love, the ground of all being, I am, the ground of our being, the source of our humanity, without which, and I think as we are seeing today all around us, without that source of our humanity, soul, we have inhumanity. our soul in all of this, and it's not in the future, but our soul is being lost. Our soul is being forfeited. We are voluntarily forfeiting soul. Not those of us here sitting in the pews, but I am talking about our society, and we feel that. What happens when you have a soulless society? One that has zero recognition of soul, and it's all material. At best, it's being sidelined, but I think more accurately, it's being completely disregarded, never spoken of in public, never spoken of in the news, not recognized at all in the education system. Interestingly, emotions are, thoughts are, non-material. Soul, as if it's not there. What happens when we think and we live but have no soul? It's not acknowledged in the workplace because our culture deals solely with the material. All attention, all funding, is on the physical world. It's beaten into us. That's what's important. Jobs, healthcare, living longer, technology, and now, of course, public safety. Yet the most obvious is missing, which is why do we even do any of these things or care about any of these things in the first place? Why are we living longer? Physical survival, mechanical universe, faster. Who wants to live in that? Why did we have any of these things to enhance life if not for matters of the soul? Value, joy, relationship, meaning, love, caring, kindness, giving. Not addressed in any future predictions. Not addressed in culture. So the question, what do you gain? If you get that, if you've won that, if you've worked like the devil your whole life, and you win, but you've lost your soul. Maybe you don't even know your soul. Maybe you don't treat others as one who bears a soul. Is that where we're going? Is that why so many people seem to be getting so messed up these days? So many changes coming. So fast, changes that are already happening, pushing us, pulling us this way, that way, more change in the next 10 to 20 years than in the past 2,000. It'll make your head swim. We'll have a different body. Added parts, changed parts. We'll have a different mind. Here's the good news. Okay? The good news is that in the midst of these swirling changes, even right now, your soul, for those who know it, for those who know how to care for it, pay attention to it, learn how to access it. How to attend to your soul will be your anchor, and it will be your wings. Attend to your deepest self. Attend to that which does not change in the midst of the flurry and in the storm. Not easy, because our world is loud and the soul is quiet. Not easy, because the world provides advancements and degrees and honors and awards and recognition. The soul is where we find our value, our sense of well-being, when we do have. What's missing in all of these predictions? Every one of them. What do you gain? What do our children gain when they have all the sports teams and all the SAT prep, and they've gotten into the college and they've gotten the job? If we gain the whole world but lose our soul, cosmic question, but very immediate and very personal to you and to your children, to our children. And what is the one place in our society that addresses and nourishes and identifies and names and attends to soul where no other place does? Disruption has become the new normal. Constant change, new normal. Regardless of your age, regardless of your accomplishments, 2017, may you care for your soul now. May we care for the souls of our children now. May we provide sanctuary. May we provide that home. May we provide that direction and anchor. Your soul. Amen.
God of new beginnings, we are so grateful to be here in your house of sanctuary, to be present with you on this Epiphany Sunday. All of our lives, God, we have been searching for you, seeking you, wanting to know who you are, what you want from us, what you are about. And many times, God, we will admit we've been confused. One person says one thing and another person says another. One passage of scripture seems one way And another passage seems so different. And we admit that there are moments that our confusion has turned to doubt. And in this world, it is easy to begin to feel lost. It is easy to give up our search. It is easy to let the darkness of this world encompass us. It is easy to get distracted by the many diversions, the multitude of competing interests that keep our minds and eyes occupied and divert us from keeping our minds and eyes on you. But you call us to stay on the path, on the journey of finding and seeking you. You remind us that although it may be difficult, it will be well worth the journey. So we take comfort in knowing that people throughout all of time have been on the same journey as us, faithful people who have continued to seek you in many places and in many people and in many ways. And we are so thankful, God, for the gift of Jesus Christ, recognizing that long ago those who lived in darkness saw a great light, your gift of Emmanuel. And the people who lived at that time around Galilee saw your face in the face of Jesus. Pagan astrologers from the East were rewarded in their search for you when they saw your glory and your promises fulfilled in the face of the Christ child. So help us, God. Help us to find your glory and your promise. Help us to see in the faces of others your face. Help us to always keep looking for you, even in the midst of doubt and fear, of frustration and distraction, of pain and suffering, of sadness and discouragement. Help us to find your glory and your promises in the person sitting beside us, in the face of a stranger, in the touch of a child. Help us to open our eyes so that we see you when we see each other. Open our ears to hear you as we listen to others. And help us to know your heart and to have your heart. And as we enter into this new year, help us to keep our gaze fixed on you, to let nothing distract us from following your light. And help us to share the light of Christ in all that we say and do, so that we may let your light shine for all the world to see, and thereby bring love and peace and joy and hope to all people in all ways and in all times. Amen.